In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Dear saints, it's a very unique feeling that overcomes you when you're driving down the road and you look in the rearview mirror and you see red and blue lights. It gives you a moment of anxiety and maybe even panic. And you're especially anxious when you know you deserve it. When that light was just a shade red than yellow, or you're taking that speed limit sign as somewhat of a suggestion than a rule. It must be a similar feeling to be on trial. If you put yourself in that courtroom and you see there the judge, and then you're sitting at the table with your lawyer, and across the aisle is the prosecutor. It must have this stomach-wrenching feeling as you see the jury file in with a verdict in hand. And let's say this isn't some kind of a traffic violation we're talking about. Suppose the verdict that they carry has with it a death sentence. How terrifying it would be to wait to hear the jury proclaim whether you are guilty or not guilty. How much more terrifying it would be if you knew you were guilty for which you were being tried. In our text for this day, Jesus teaches us about the final judgment. In the church calendar, we draw closer to the end of another year, as next week we'll embark upon the first Sunday in Advent. And the last few weeks always focuses our meditation, our thinking about the end of times. And there's so much about the end of times that's popularized by books and by movies that we as a church have sometimes lost the true teaching of end times. And sometimes people have a lot of guilt when it comes to knowing theology of the end times because they think it reveals their ignorance of the Bible. That most people think, in order for me to know what the end times is all about, I have to understand very complicated books like Daniel and Revelation, which are difficult to understand, and so we just don't try. But our understanding of the end times is as simple as the creeds we confess every Sunday. That he ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from which he will come to judge the living and the dead. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. So simply put, the tribulations of this world will continue to get worse and worse until the day that God will raise all the dead, and that these very bodies that you and I have will be resurrected and our souls will be reunited with our bodies. And this is true not just for believers, but for unbelievers as well. That all the dead will rise, body and soul reunited, and it's at this time that all will face final judgment before Christ. And there is but one judgment, and it's the judgment of the sheep and the goats given in our gospel lesson today. Perhaps the first lesson of the text is a sobering thought in and of itself, that there is in fact a judgment. And how often we forget that. It's all too easy to forget about the cop with the ticket book when you're speeding down the interstate. It's all too easy to forget that. I'm sure that the criminals don't think about their day in court as they carry out the crimes that they commit. And so it is with us, that as we go about our lives and we come upon various decisions in our lives, how often do we really think about that final judgment? How often do we think about that holy and righteous judge who is a just judge? And so you come to that crossroad in your day between what is sin and what is the right thing to do. You catch yourself mid-sentence gossiping about another. Do you stop?
Or do you just continue to revel in the gossip? Or when you look in envy upon your neighbor's possessions and property, do you stop and you thank God for providing for all that you need? Or do you just continue to think how you'll only be happy if you had those possessions? In these situations of life, we rarely stop and consider that there is indeed a final judgment. And if this judgment were to be rendered on the basis of our works, you and I would be in deep trouble. But the final judgment is not rendered on the basis of our works. Now, this might come as a bit of a surprise, because it seems like Jesus is saying the sheep are sheep because they've done good things to the least of these, and the goats are goats because they didn't care for the least of these. But it doesn't say that the sheep are named sheep because they care for the least of these. It just says what the sheep did. It's a lot like last week's lesson. You remember last week we talked about the parable of the talents, which was also an end times text. And at first reading, it made it sound like God will give people their reward based upon what they will do with what God has given them. But as we looked at that text last week, we saw that God is in the business of forgiving those who fail to take care of what God has given them. And so it is for our text for this morning, that the final judgment is not based upon your works. What God considers when he renders his judgment is not your works, whether good or bad. Because if that were the case, this sermon would be all about how you need to go find those in need and help them so that you can earn a bunch of rewards in heaven. But that kind of theology is exactly what the goats remark when Jesus says today. You see, when the goats are ushered to the left, they object and they say, "When did we ever see you in need?" You see, the goats were not against good works. The goats were pro good works. It's just that the goats wanted to make sure their good works count. They wanted to spend their good works strategically to make sure they counted with the big man upstairs. This is the reason for their objection to final judgment. They say, "Lord," isn't it interesting how the goats call him Lord? "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty?" They're saying, "Hey, I'm all about doing good works for God. We just never saw you in need. If we knew you were in need, Lord, we would have helped out a lot." And how many times have we been more like the goat than the sheep? How many times have you been more interested in strategically placing your good work to get credit for them? That the focus of your good work is being rewarded rather than serving your neighbor. What's more important? That your neighbor is served, or that you get recognition and appreciation for the neighbor you're serving? It fascinates me that the sheep ask the exact same question that the goats do, but for a completely different reason. You see, they both ask, the sheep and the goats, "Lord, when did we ever see you in need?" But the goats ask that by saying, "If we knew, we would have helped." But the sheep, by asking the question, are saying, "We were just helping out those who were in need. We didn't realize that we were doing it for you, Lord. We were just doing what sheep do." And that is why that this final judgment can't possibly be based upon works. Because if I am to tell you to go out and do good works so that you'll get rewards in heaven, then I have made you a goat rather than sheep. The whole point is that the sheep don't do good works for the sake of good works, that they might find themselves to be good for final judgment. The whole point is that they have faith. Sheep simply do good works because they are sheep. They do good whether they realize they are doing good or not. You know, sometimes the moment you identify a work to be good, you look back and you say, boy, that thing that I did, that was really a good work. You've taken credit for it, and it is no longer a good work. But this text captures what God really considers to be good works. And they are those lowly, seemingly mundane, unimportant works. The works that hardly anyone would consider good. They're the everyday, mundane works of serving those around you. It's when a mother wakes up at 3 a.m. to change a diaper. Or when you ignore your body's plea for rest to make the supper for the family. Or when at work you serve the 500th customer in the same routine that you served the first 499. You see, none of these works are really worth a Nobel Peace Prize, but they are works that the Lord declares as good. And they are good because they are done in faith. That's the real difference between the sheep and the goats. Faith. The sheep possess the gift of faith and the goats don't. And in the final judgment, the basis on which God will judge you is not upon works, but according to faith alone. In our Old Testament lesson read this morning, it says that God's sheep are God's sheep because He sought them out. No sheep makes himself a sheep. It's God who gives us this faith, and He makes us His sheep. It's really interesting that when God grants the sheep their reward, this is what the Lord says. He says, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." That heaven has actually been prepared for the sheep long before they ever did any good works. So you would expect the Lord to say the same for the goats, but He doesn't. This is what He says to the goats: "Depart from me, you accursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." You see, God never prepared hell for mankind. He prepared it for the devil and his demons. But for those who refuse to be sheep, that Christ has died for the forgiveness of their sins too, but they want no part in that forgiveness. They say, "I have no need for forgiveness." And they reject this gift of faith. They disbelieve God's promises. For those who refuse to be sheep, there is only one place for them to go, the place that was prepared for the devil and all his demons. So we have a God that calls lowly, dirty, messy works good, because we have a God whose work to save us from sin was lowly, dirty, and messy. That when God looks at His Son Jesus, He calls Him good, knowing that He is about to bear all the sins of the world upon Himself and take the full punishment for them all. That Jesus is scourged, He's beaten, that thorns press down upon His brow, and He's crucified to a splintered cross, that there is nothing glorious or attractive about any of that. And yet we still call that day Good Friday. Because it is on that day that all of your sins were forgiven, and that all of your sins are moved as far as the east is from the west. For sins of gossip, for sins of envy, for all crimes, even traffic infractions, even for wanting to claim a good work as your own. That all sins are forgiven on the cross nearly 2,000 years ago so that God could claim you as his dear sheep. So back to that courtroom. There you see the prosecutor and you see the judge, and the jury is filing in, and you know you've done the crime, and you're just waiting for that death sentence. And as the judge reads the verdict, he pronounces, not guilty. Because you can't be punished for these sins, someone already has. That's one difference in our court's law system, that they don't ever declare you innocent. It's guilty or not guilty. Because the court doesn't have the business of saying that you didn't do a crime, only that there isn't evidence that you did. So while in a court of law you might be rendered not guilty, in our standing in the great judgment before God, you'll be declared innocent. Innocent because the righteousness and perfection of Christ has covered over you, and you get credit for all that Christ has done for you. And so what Jesus, our Lord, says to you at final judgment is, come, you who are blessed by my Father, you whom God has called sheep, you who possess the gift of faith, you who were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, you who have heard the words of holy absolution and have said, all men, inherit the kingdom of heaven prepared for you from the foundation of the world. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.